Chapter 8. Choke if you voted for Trump.
You know, I can't believe nobody thought of this sooner, Clint said, rattling the chains around his wrists and ankles. The ankles were chained together. The wrists had separate chains attached to the wall, but they gave him a fair amount of movement. It was all very medieval. At least he wasn't in a cell, like the other two.
Yeah? Bucky asked. He was not chained. Large steel cylinders encased his hands up to the forearms, and his feet up past his ankles, holding him spread-eagle, which was kinky in a totally different way. He was caged in by bars, which did seem like overkill.
What's it they finally thought of?
I mean, you joined the administration, what, 2 years in? Clint asked.
I like how you call it joining the administration, and not just me showing up in your bedroom one morning looking for Steve, Bucky said.
Being fair, it took you about 2 seconds to get on board, Steve called, from a similar predicament to Bucky, but in the cell on the other side of Clint.
Well, I am a patriot, Bucky replied.
Anyway, Clint said, annoyed that his personal bodyguard/boyfriend and his vice president were ignoring him. It is now 7 years into the Barton administration. Oh, my mother would be so proud. And I have only just now been kidnapped.
You did have that assassination attempt, Steve said, and they've tried to kidnap you before.
They have? Who?
AIM once, a couple of very ill-prepared domestic terrorists twice, and some Hydra splinter group once, Bucky said. I had a lot of fun with that last one.
This is only proving my point, though, Clint said.
What is your point, anyway? Steve asked. Taking you long enough to get to it.
My point is that nobody managed to kidnap me until now because nobody could get past Bucky.
That's my job, Bucky said, not without pride.
So I can't believe it took 5 years for someone to come up with the idea of just taking Bucky too.
Clint's chains rang against the concrete floor thoughtfully. Taking Bucky and you seems like overdoing it, but...
Well, that was part of the plan, said a new voice, and an unbearably bright light went on, pointing right at them.
Clint squinted, one hand over his eyes. There was a man standing between Clint and the light, outlined in shadow.
Good afternoon, Mr. President.
I've had better, Clint said frankly. There was a low laugh.
My apologies, the man said. I was all for giving you some nicer accommodations, and a little less of this, a hand waved, borderline stereotypical dungeon nonsense. But I'm given to understand you're extremely good with improvised weapons, so we couldn't really give you the freedom of movement I'm sure you prefer. The vice president and your bodyguard were obviously never going to get the white glove treatment, considering their unusual abilities.
Kind of you to consider it, Clint said.
Well, we try not to be barbarians about these things.
So, is this a ransom situation, or a political statement, or some kind of coup? Clint asked. I should warn you, a coup of this kind normally requires a lot more paperwork filed in advance.
Ah, the famous Barton wit. Earthy, down home, the man said. A farm boy from Iowa with Tony Stark's deep pockets behind him. Oh, how my employers loathe you.
Was it universal healthcare or peace in our time that upset them? Clint asked.
Honestly, it's a matter of principle. You should have been one of them. A Midwestern ex-soldier working for the intelligence community? How on earth did you end up a liberal?
Well, I like people, Clint said.
Horrifying, the man drawled.
It happens more often than you'd think, Clint replied. He didn't look at Steve or Bucky, who were suspiciously silent.
So, definitely a coup?
Of a sort, the man agreed.
The president and vice president vanishing simultaneously offers us so many options, President Barton.
It destabilizes the administration. I'm sure Tony Stark is losing his mind right now, what with his boss and his boyfriend both missing.
Fiance, Steve said. The Shadow Man stopped short.
Really? Clint asked. When did that happen?
Last week. The retreat at Camp David. Very romantic. The woods, the moonlight, crisp country air.
Did you get him a ring?
He asked me, actually. No ring yet. He wanted to have it custom fitted. I got surprisingly thin
Enough! The Shadow Man snapped.
Hey, butt out, Clint said. My pal just got engaged.
Those chains could be activated, the man replied.
Activated? Clint asked, and a short, sharp shock ran through his body.
Oh, he panted when it was done. At any rate, Mr. Stark's fiance is missing, so his mind is certainly not on his work. There's a new emergency president who must be sworn in. The whole country is nervous. Our security seems to be in pieces. What is the intelligence community doing to protect us?
Oh my God, Clint said, sitting up a little, still stinging from the brief electrocution.
This is campaign strategy. You're freaking out the voters. Is this seriously the GOP campaign strategy? Kidnapping the president?
Well, technically, no, the man said. We're only loosely affiliated, rather like S.H.I.E.L.D., doing the candidate's dirty work for him, without being asked.
Hey, I used to work for S.H.I.E.L.D. I resent that, Clint said.
Is it untrue?
No, but if we found out you were stealing our shtick and using it for Republican purposes, we'd be very annoyed.
The man sounded amused. You do have a way about you when you want to charm someone, Mr. President.
Thanks, but I'm married.
So I hear.
Can I ask you a question?
Steve said, clearing his throat.
Why aren't we dead?
Oh, well, kidnapping you is more effective, in terms of instilling fear and causing chaos.
Yeah, but now that we're kidnapped, really pretty effectively kidnapped.
Oh, we intend to break you. Clint went still, and he saw Bucky draw in a thin breath.
We'll return you eventually, shells of the men you are now. You see, we're very good at our jobs, Mr. Vice President. We'll simply torture you until you break, and then throw you back to be seen by the entire country for the weaklings you are.
There was a moment of silence. Clint started to worry, really worry, especially about Bucky. He could see Bucky take another low breath, head hanging down. And then...
Then Bucky started laughing. Howling, really. Clint didn't think he'd ever seen him laugh quite like that.
Oh, man, Bucky managed through his mirth. Oh, man, you guys are going to try to break Steve Rogers. I've been trying to train him just to put on a parachute for 90 years. You all think you can break him?
Clint glanced at Steve, who was grinning. Tony Stark's been trying to get him to put his socks in the laundry hamper instead of his boots since they started up together, Bucky continued. Greatest genius of our generation can't get his betrothed to put his socks away, and you think you can get him to break?
Enough,
the man in front of the light said, and the light went out. Bucky kept laughing for another 5 minutes, just in case.
I'm crying so hard from laughing. And my nose itches so bad,
Bucky said finally.
I always take them out of my boots,
Steve said, which set Bucky off again.
The next morning I take them out and put them in the bin when I put new socks on. I don't see what the big deal is. It's just a habit. Sometimes we didn't have new socks or laundry machines in the war.
Well, at least now we know what's on the program,
Clint said brightly. Conservative blithering, respectability politics, and torture. Honestly, it's just like going on Fox News.
How many cameras they got on us, Steve? Bucky asked. Just the one. Hard to tell with the light that bright, but I think they just got one up in the left-hand corner, Steve said.
You see anything like a switch or a lever that'll let you guys free? Clint asked.
Nope. Imagine they'll gas us first if they need to move us.
They better gas me if they try to move Clint, Bucky growled.
Not to worry, my fellow Americans, Clint replied. I am the President of the United States, and I have a plan.
Clint couldn't track the passage of time too closely in the windowless dungeon, but they brought him a sandwich and a jaunty, "The torture starts in the morning!" message soon thereafter. He was pretty confident it was evening the next time he saw the Shadow Man. This time, a man with a laptop approached Clint and held it up.
"Tell me what this is about," the Shadow Man said.
"Is this live?" Clint asked, peering at the screen. On it, President Barton was giving a press conference.
"So we're informed," the Shadow Man replied.
"What is this?"
"Gosh, it sure looks like President Barton is giving a speech. What a handsome son of a bitch he is," Clint said.
He got another short shock for his pains,
but it was totally worth it.
"Explain this." Clint decided the president on screen was probably Kamala. Tony had gotten her a job as a White House intern. Her parents were over the moon, in part so she could follow Clint around and learn his mannerisms for just such an occasion. He couldn't decide whether Steve, standing behind him, was Teddy or Mystique. Probably Teddy. He did a great Steve Rogers impression.
"Plan not going how you wanted, is it?" he asked, pleased that his own personal plan was in fact going even better than he'd intended.
"You're really gonna hate what happens next."
"What?"
the Shadow Man started, and Clint moved. He'd picked the locks on his shackles hours ago, using a sliver of fingernail and a bit of luck. Now he lunged forward, accomplishing several things at once. With his left hand, he flung a pebble at the camera in the corner, breaking the lens. Then he brought it around to smash the man holding the laptop in the face. He caught the laptop, snapping it shut, and zipped it like a frisbee across the room, catching the Shadow Man in the side of his head even as he turned to call for help. Clint found a gun in a holster under his arm once he was on the ground, then took off through the passage the Shadow Man had been using.
"You guys sit tight," he yelled to Bucky and Steve as he ran.
"This was your plan?" Bucky roared.
"Go get him, Clint,"
Steve yelled encouragingly. Down the corridor was a control room with two people in it, a man who was looking frantic and a woman who was reaching for a switch on the wall. Clint shot it out before she could reach it, conked her on the head with the gun, then grabbed the guy in a headlock and pressed the barrel to his ear.
"How do I release the super soldiers?" he asked. "I swear I voted for you. This is just a job I needed for the money."
The guy replied,
"I try to be a caring president, but I have long since passed the point of caring if I blow you away," Clint said. "For God's sake, I gave you guys universal health care and raised the minimum wage. What more do you want?"
"Yeah, okay, I totally voted for Trump," the guy admitted, and tried to wiggle free. So Clint grabbed his ear and twisted.
"Ow, ow, okay, okay, it's the third lever on the right."
Clint considered whether a guy who voted for Trump would actually tell him the truth, then twisted harder.
"Second lever," the guy corrected.
And Clint let him go, clipping him with his elbow just hard enough to knock him unconscious. He flicked the second lever and heard a pneumatic sigh, and then Steve yelling,
"Clint, if you can hear us, we're out!"
Just then there was a crash, and Clint ducked back into the hallway, heading further into the complex. The corridor opened into a large common room. Half a dozen people were pushed up against the walls of the room, apparently trying to make themselves as small as possible. Clint didn't blame them. An angry Tony Stark in the Iron Man armor wasn't anything to mess with. Tony was standing in the middle of the room, one agent of intermediate evil suspended in the air in front of him by the throat. Behind him, on a still-functioning television, Kamala Clint was still talking. The Tony Stark on the television was probably Mystique then, Clint thought idly. Tony loved it when Mystique played him.
Hey, Mr. President, Tony said conversationally. Where's my fiancé?
Tony!
Steve yelled, skidding into the room. Right behind him was Bucky, who grabbed Clint around the waist and began bodily dragging him towards the hole in the ceiling, where S.H.I.E.L.D. agents were lowering themselves on ropes.
Ack, let me go! I can climb my own rope ladder!
Clint insisted, but Bucky just yanked a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent out of their harness, buckled Clint into it, and then grabbed on again.
Buck, this is just unnecessary. I rescued you!
Shut up and get in the helicopter, Bucky said, tumbling in after him. Clint turned in time to see Steve riding the Iron Man Express out of the bunker. The helicopter pilot turned around, gaped, and said,
Mr. President!
Hiya, Clint said with a wave.
Would you like to take the stick, sir?
The man asked.
No, no, it's fine, Clint said. Home, please. I've had a very long evening.
Yes, sir. Clint was met in the Rose Garden by a very freaked out Kamala, who tackle hugged him around the waist.
Welcome back! I don't like being you!
She yelled into his chest.
I don't always like being me either. I feel ya, he said, patting the back of her head.
Are you okay? She asked, letting him go. Then she straightened her shoulders and added, Mr. President, sir?
I'm fine, Eminem, and you did a great job, he said. Saw you on TV. It really freaked out the guys who kidnapped me.
Hey, pizza party for the interns, he told her. Put it on expenses. Go on, he said, and she nodded and ran off.
Damn it, I bought a new black outfit for the funeral, Maria said, joining him as he proceeded into the White House, heading for the residence.
You can wear it to the pizza party, Clint said with a grin, and she smacked the back of his head.
Don't get kidnapped again. I don't want to be a gay widow before my time, she replied, peeling away for her own bedroom.
Clint stopped in the hall to give a few instructions to the Secret Service, who all looked very anxious they were about to be fired, and then relieved when they weren't. He waited just long enough to see Steve and Tony disappear into the Lincoln bedroom, then waved off security and ducked into his own suite, Bucky on his heels. He collapsed backwards onto the bed, staring up at the ceiling.
Shield's securing the compound they pulled us out of, Bucky said, checking his phone. Pretty sure they'll know who it was who kidnapped us and which candidate paid them by morning.
This'll be a footnote in the history books, Clint said. Make sure Shield handles it, not Tony. He's got to plan a wedding.
Tony knows how to delegate.
The wedding or the domestic intelligence?
Both. He's a genius. Are you okay? Bucky asked.
Yeah, I just want a presidential speech-length bath.
Starts 20 minutes late and lasts 30 minutes longer than necessary? Bucky suggests.
Yeah, something like that.
Should I pretend to be a pundit and criticize your bathing?
It's an interesting roleplay you've suggested, but no.
Clint stood up and started peeling off his grimy clothes.
You may join me if you like.
Well, Mr. President, what an honor, Bucky remarked, as Clint wandered into the bathroom to start the water.
If you play your cards right, I'll let you sleep in the presidential suite tonight, Clint said with a grin.
Come on, Barnes. We foiled treason today, and I beat up a guy with a laptop. I deserve this.
If only your voters knew how you suffered, Bucky drawled. Clint eased himself down into the hot water, sighing.
Security briefing in the morning, Clint said. Now get over here while the water's still warm.
So, Tony said, now that I have both proposed to you and rescued you from certain death, you definitely have to be the one to plan the wedding.
I'm the vice president. I have event planners to do that kind of thing, Steve replied.
So do you, actually.
We should do it before you leave office. A state wedding is just the thing to raise people's spirits.
You just want to get married in the White House, you egomaniac.
Well, it's a very nice venue, and I hear we can get it for cheap, Tony replied.
Clearly a concern, Steve drawled. Go to sleep, hero. I need my beauty rest.
He drifted off to Tony talking his way through plans for the wedding,
including whether or not Steve should wear his dress uniform, and if Tony could get away with wearing white.